Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday, so it is Hutton O'Clock. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 125-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, joins us live from Radio Row in Las Vegas.
We are here.
Ahead of the Super
Bowl. He is alive.
He is alive. I appreciate you. Have you looked out for him? Because I do think that need maybe somebody looking after Jared while he's hitting the strip.
I saw Stilly at the media party last night. We hung out last night. Yeah, he's making it. He's got a great guest lineup, too.
Are you making it?
I saw that, too. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? It's only last night was night one. There's a just we're not even at the home stretch yet, Caroline. Let's go.
There is the old classic tale of overdoing it on night one. Maybe a rookie mistake, perhaps, but this is not your first go-around.
It's kind of like the spring break. You get looking like a lobster on the first day out in the sun.
SPF 100
big mistake.
On day one.
Big mistake.
A story from last night. So we're at the media party, Willie, and we are outside. It's probably the last time it will rain in Vegas until, like, the summer. It was raining last night. And we're outside. There was all these food trucks. They have all these different – it was almost like a restaurant. Hey, how are you? Almost like a restaurant tasting kind of thing, a taste of Las Vegas. Well, we're outside. We were out there for 45 minutes. Chad looks at me and goes, I think this may be the worst media party I've ever been to. And we're comparing all these. And I was like, yeah, this is shocking. Like, there's no way Vegas is just going to have. We were at the start-finish line in the paddock for the F1 is where they had us. And there were three stories of a party going on the entire time inside this building. We had no clue. We were outside eating and, like, contemplating getting an Uber back or a shuttle back, and we saw Kirby Allen Kirby, and he told us that the party was upstairs. So there were three other floors there, so we ended up staying another hour or so. And that's where we saw Jared.
Where'd you be without Kirby?
You know where I'd be without Kirby. I'd be dead. makes all things happen.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, what has maybe the topic of conversation been on Radio Row surrounding the Titans?
I've been on Radio Row for about 2 hours, and I have talked Titans with two people, Jim Wyatt and Jeff Hobson from Cincy, and it's been about Callahan, and that's the only conversation, period. It's just about his new system and about the fact that for the first time since the Titans have been the Titans, we should look at this team as a pass-first offense, which is weird to say. And how does that stick within the organizational, business model that we have seen over the past 25 years or so? So it's intriguing. How long does it take to get there? I mean, that's on Levis and the offensive line from an offensive standpoint, but they got to get some receivers and much more. Plenty of money to spend, and I think that's the perception, is how quickly can he get things up to speed based on what they have, which is not much offensively for this type of offense. The old saying or the cliche is offensive linemen prefer to run block because, you can get offense going, you can move chains. That was in theory what they should have done. Couldn't even run it much last year. Definitely couldn't pass it very well. And here they are trying to do just that over one off season. They need a big off season. Big. They need to hit on a lot of different acquisitions, not just one or two, not just the draft, not just free agency. They need to have both mesh very well. And, I mean, it's not often that we've seen the Titans hit in that manner in one off season with multiple players.
And speaking of the run game, Hutton, what do you think the Titans should do with Derrick Henry, and what do you think they will do with Derrick Henry? What's Derrick Henry's future?
Well, I want to view it from Henry's standpoint because he's also in control of this. Now, the Titans would be one of the few teams that would, in the past, pay the type of salary he's going to require. And I think he'll get market value and then some. I think there will be a team that comes and gives him a number. It's not going to be $12 million that he had. It's not going to be $10 million. But I don't think it's going to be this $4 million, $5 million number either. Based on what we were just talking about with Callahan, it's just time to move on from Derrick Henry if you're the organization. And if you're Derrick Henry, if you want to go win a title, you can get paid and chase a championship. He's 30, he's at 30 years old playing that position. It's time. I realize the franchise records and the lineage that he's followed and now that he has set as far as the bar and what he can set with Eddie. But just looking at it from the 10,000-foot view, I would go play for a contender. This team's not going to be that And I would just to be blunt, I would, if I'm him, I'm thinking I've wasted the last 2 years of my career. Hall of Fame is there for him, for the taking. He can do that. He can put up those numbers elsewhere. And they're already, even in the offense we just watched, they were already using him less and less. He was getting less of the carries than what we saw from Spears. So, I mean, just addressing that, I think from Henry's standpoint, he can be just as productive and play for a team that's actually going to contend. And I'm watching him on Bussin' with the Boys and hearing what he said about, you know, there was a contender that, two or three playoff teams that reached out about a trade. He's focused on that, and he has said that for the last few times he's been in front of the microphone. I think that's a priority for him, as is the financial backing. But the Titans wouldn't be the only team that would have interest, and if the Titans did, we'd have more of a feel for that. And they're saying all the right things. Henry went out the right way. I'm glad he did. It was classy. But I just, from both sides, the time is now with the new era and this. I mean, everything they have done from the franchise's point of view is go young. Everything. Even at defensive coordinator, they went younger than maybe you go bring in the veteran DC who's been a former head coach or whatever. They've gone younger. And that's what they're going to do in the draft, and I expect them to do that as far as the free agents are concerned, but not at the running back position.
I agree with you, Hutton. There's so many reasons why I am pretty strongly believing that for one reason or another, this is the right time to part ways. And I will be a Derrick Henry fan and hope that he takes the next couple chapters and gets to the Hall of Fame, but I just think it's the right time to move on to something else. And another reason for me, Hutt, is listening to, and this kind of segues into where I wanted to ask. I don't know if you've heard the in-depth interview they did with Chad Brinker. I had never really heard Chad Brinker speak at length. Did you hear it?
I haven't heard the full interview. I have heard cuts on the Stillman Show.
Well, one big part of it is his background in analytics. And this is another thing that Derrick Henry has been fighting, right? It's just like in baseball, we learned that on the back of the baseball card, a guy could have 30 homers and 100 RBIs, but analytically, it's not quite what you're looking for. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't make any sense when you first say it. Just like when we say, well, Derrick Henry had 1,100 yards last year. He had 1,200 yards the year before. Their analytics people are looking beyond those numbers. And that's another reason I think that it just, especially when you assign value and how much you're going to pay that person, I think that's another philosophical thing where they're moving towards that devalues a little bit more of what Derrick Henry brings to the table.
Well, and also, like, this is no fault of his because they don't use him in this area. But they didn't use him even with, if you don't think Vrabel was in analytics, he still wasn't on the field on third down.
Right.
And they need to move the sticks. The number one thing that this defense can really help this defense moving forward is the offense stays on the field more. Less three and outs. Fewer three and outs. And if you're going to address Henry and you're going to bring him back, I mean, if you're going to pay him, because, again, it's market value, that dude's got to be on the field or down to help me move the chains, period. And I don't think he would be in this offense. And also, like, yeah, it sucks. I understand from the fan point of view here and just covering him for years. It sucks whenever you see a player move on. But Steve McNair is still viewed as a Titan. Eddie George, Titan. Chris Johnson, Titan. Those dudes all went and played for another organization at the end of their career. And they still come back, and they're still Tennessee Titans legends. And Henry's right at the top there. I mean, it's no different than the best players that have gone through this franchise. In the moment, it's more emotional than it is analytical. But from the analytical standpoint, like you're saying, like, it just makes sense. And they paid him, $12 million last year, and he's getting less carries than the rookie back. It's just the part of the transition of the league, especially for guys that are over the age of 30.
All right, so who is the most random celebrity that you've seen on Radio Row? So far today, and then maybe historically.
Okay, let's start historically. Most random.
Because you never know who's going to walk down Radio Row.
Yeah, Slash was one of them. He was in a Super Bowl commercial, so they were promoting that one year. Of course, I was a peon then, Willie. I'm like, there's no way that I would.
So you weren't just walking up to Slash's guy and say, "Hey, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Will you please come on our show?"
No, exactly. No, I wasn't even allowed to walk up to him. I was looking at a lot of the random people have the, or even the A list. They already have their list set up.
Right.
Slash was definitely one of them. I think he did two or three stations. Floyd Mayweather had the most random moment for me. I was on the air, and he came up. He like picked out a table as he's walking by and threw like ones at me and said he did this as like he had a film crew going. It was just hyping up a fight or something. He said, "Money don't make me, I make money," and just left.
What a mic drop.
Did you go buy a coffee or something with the couple of $1 bills?
No. One of his peons came through with a bag and picked up the cash on his way.
Get to keep the money. Okay. No, I thought it was your lucky day. You got to
when you see the Big Show and everyone else, whoever they were, the security that's with him, and then they have the guy that with the backpack that has just straight cash in it. They pick up every dollar bill that he throws at people.
Didn't get rich by throwing ones around.
No, absolutely not. The other one was the most random was Will Forte sitting by himself because Sandler and David Spade and maybe one other person was with them. They were promoting a movie, and Will Forte was just hanging out with them, but he was sitting over in a corner by himself, like with a coffee, with his like legs crossed or whatever. And Withrow and I just went up to him and said, "Hey, do you want to?" Like, come on the show. He's like, "You want to talk to me?" And I'm like, "Yes." Like, we already went through all of his, you know, MacGruber and all those movies, SNL.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And he goes, "Sure." And then he came over, and he was exactly
it's
the same
not a bad impression,
dude.
Hutton.
Sure. And he'd be like, that was the most random. So far, Willie, I saw Carrot Top in the hotel. He looks awful.
Yeah, I did see a picture of Carrot Top. Time has not been very kind to Carrot Top.
He
looks like
almost
a Raggedy Ann doll on drugs.
He does. It's almost so bad, like so bad, that I think it's a gimmick. Like he's walking around like he's playing a role. It's so awful. Like it's so bad, I'm hoping that it's an act kind of thing.
That is, sometimes you do kind of hope that the celebrity doesn't come to your table. You know, that is yeah. You get a little bit of that. Like, here's the celebrity. Like, I know who it is, but I don't really want to interview this person.
It looks like he slept outside. Like, I'm not joking. It's that bad. It was awful.
Goodness.
Jared sent me a picture of him, and he does look kind of jacked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's on the late 90s baseball cycle. I know that. But
kind of looks like it.
Some Jose Canseco milkshakes, maybe?
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Clean in the clear, too. Just no clear.
Oh, nice. So, Hutton, yeah. I want to ask you about the new defensive coordinator, Denard Wilson. I haven't really gotten your take on it. I was listening to the Titans podcast. I enjoy this kind of stuff because I haven't heard Rand Carthon talk much in the last few months.
Well, what did you think of it?
Well, I thought it was informative. I really was curious about Brinker, and I came away very impressed with Brinker on a lot of different layers. I like his skill set of being a football player at a pretty high level, a scout who is old school eye test, but also who took the time to go to graduate school, to business school, to really dive into how do analytics work. Because I really try to study analytics. We're going to have a guest on at 1 o'clock to talk hockey analytics. I have the access to the website through the Predators of an analytics site, but I probably understand about 30% of what's on there.
You have to know what to search for and how to search it.
Yeah. I get a lot from that 30%, but there are other deep layers that I know I don't get. But it seems like Brinker, to me, has studied all of those layers, right? He didn't just read the book Moneyball and say, "Oh, that's pretty interesting. I'm going to try to do that."
Yeah,
like he went to business school to try to deeply understand how that whole thing works. So I was impressed with him, and I came away with a little better understanding, too, of Rand Carthon and his vision of what he thinks he's going to be. And he said, "I'm the relationship guy." Right, and this was Mike Keith's kind of line of questioning. He says, your relationship with Denard Walker helped you recruit him, basically, for lack of a better term, over other teams that might have been interested in him. Is that fair to say?
Like the Dolphins?
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to get along with Rand Carthon. I know that. And Brinker, too, for them. So the thing about analytical, I won't say this just across the board. When I hear someone discuss analytics, I feel like they know it. They just don't know how to describe it and explain it to someone who doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You either get it or you don't. I was adopted. My sister is my dad. He's a CPA, financial aid director. He gets it, and so does my sister. I was in remedial math. All right, like it's black and white. So I don't when I hear Brinker talk analytics, I feel like he's trying to explain it to someone that's an idiot like me, and it's very difficult to pick up on and explain how it's going to be utilized. You know, I think Vrabel was the same way. Vrabel would have asked someone like, okay, you're doing this. Tell me how it's going to help me win a game. Explain exactly why we're helping the team in this very moment. And you have to go through that ahead of time to be able to trust it, right? In every situation is different. Not every fourth down is you're also playing against a different defense. You can play the number one defense or the worst defense in the league, and the numbers will say the same on when to go for it on fourth down. I think that's the hard part to pick up on. And yeah, I think I think he's right to say, you're right to pick up on the fact that he's just the relationship guy. But that's big and important, because I don't feel like that was going on very much within the building. I think it's another 180 from what we were seeing, who, you know, they wanted to, and rightfully so, they were winning games. It's not like they lost for six seasons, but inside the walls, you weren't getting very much out of that. You weren't seeing people all that much.
It seems like Rand really wants to connect all those areas. He wants to help be the glue, right, that helps connect the relationships, the communication lines between the front office, the coaches, the analytics people, all the training staff, all of that stuff. They clearly feel like that was lacking.
Well, and whether or not you're for it or against it, right? Like, if you can not like what they did, it doesn't matter. What they're doing, they can't do it. They can't execute that without having coach and GM in lockstep, period. Right? Like, you can't be the relationship guy and not have be in lockstep with what the head coach is doing. Especially being the first-year GM, with a guy that's been there and, you know, has the skins on the wall.
Looking at this Super Bowl, if Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers don't win it, do you think that a narrative will kind of start to shift about Kyle Shanahan of he can always get you there but can't win the big one?
It's a good question.
Andy Reid had it for a long time.
Yeah.
He did.
Obviously, that's been squashed.
Yeah, man, he's been unbelievable. 10 playoffs in 11 seasons in KC. I mean, yes, that will – I don't know if that's the immediate reaction. So the immediate reaction to the AFC Championship game was Lamar can't win.
Right.
If San Francisco loses, it's going to be about Mahomes and Brady. That will be the instant reaction. It will be more about, is Kelsey retiring, and what's Taylor Swift doing? And then it'll be about Mahomes and Brady and the fact that through six seasons they are practically tied within the numbers from AFC championships to the number of Super Bowl victories. Mahomes' only Super Bowl loss is to Tom Brady, which is intriguing if he's going to catch him. Anyway, I think that's the initial takeaway. It's more about the Chiefs winning again. And I think the Chiefs will almost be the villain in a weird way. You know,
I almost feel like they kind of are.
Well, they are now. Like, I grew up with Jordan, and Jordan's first three titles, I mean, I wanted a Bulls jacket in Middle Tennessee. And then Penny Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal came along with the Magic. And then I hated Michael Jordan whenever he came back to play and then continued to win. Point being, like, you transition to different things. Like, you know, LeBron was the same way. When he first came into the league, then he's the villain. I would say the same thing. Just looking through what we've seen from, I mean, the Patriots in a weird way. Brady was a villain, then he went to Tampa and he was a hero. So I think there are waves to it, and I think we'll see the wave crash on the Chiefs from the villain standpoint, the anti-hero in a weird way.
Good Taylor Swift reference there.
Yeah. So I think it'll be more about that. Then it transitions to Shanahan. But see, the perception is that Brock Purdy sucks. Right. So if the perception is Brock Purdy sucks, then Shanahan gets the benefit of the doubt because Brock Purdy sucks, and he still got him to a Super Bowl. So you can't have it both ways. If you're crushing Brock Purdy because, you know, he's just not that good. Oh my God, look at what Kyle Shanahan's doing. Anybody can do this. If that's the case, then Shanahan should be crushed for not winning this again.
And I think the perception of the 49ers win is either one of two things. One is you don't need an elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl, or Brock Purdy is elite.
That will be the debate.
Well,
it's a great debate, I think.
It's not going to change the perception of Brock Purdy, I don't think.
I don't think
anything will.
His stats are elite. His body and athleticism may not be elite, but his stats are incredible.
It will take another Super Bowl win after this one for the perception to change on him, because it will be, you don't need to be elite to win the Super Bowl. Oh my God, look at what Kyle Shanahan's a genius. He'll have another 5 coaches off his staff hired next offseason. Like that will be, it'll take another season for Purdy to become that guy.
Such fickle little sports fans?
Yeah. That's just the narrative. And again, that's a wave with that, too. The wave would change on Purdy if he did that. But again, like, it's just, it's the way you come into the league, where you're perceived and what you're doing. And I haven't heard very many people mention, I heard Stillman mention it on Stillman and Company, but I haven't heard very many people mention the Falcons loss and who the offensive coordinator was in that game. It was Kyle Shanahan, 28-3. Like, it's all about Shanahan in San Francisco because of what we've seen in the dominance that they've had. It's intriguing. You guys have one, you have 2 minutes real quick. I could tell something about an interview I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
We had Jalin Hyatt on, and we asked him about the whole situation at Tennessee. And it's weird because I think there are different things that he said that will help both sides' argument, state and the NCAA. First with the state, we asked him about NIL and the decision to come out early and whether or not the money met or was at least close to what he got with the Giants. He said it wasn't, but he didn't necessarily need it to reach that bar. But the thing was that Spire would not guarantee him anything. And I think that helped Spire. But later he mentions in the interview that, you know, he wanted to come back. He contemplated it. Other programs were also hitting him up, but he just didn't want to do that. He wanted to be in Tennessee. But Nico was coming in and he was getting paid. So I took that to mean like he didn't get the guarantee or whatever because Nico was coming in. But he mentions Nico by name, which is, again, part of what this is all about. It's intriguing, and we'll have it on the show later. But I wanted to point that out because he was very open about it, that multiple programs hit him up for the portal, and he had an interesting decision because he slotted in the draft. He knows if he goes first, second, third, fourth, he knows what he's going to make. And you can gauge that against name, image, likeness and what the offer might be through some boosters. And he said it was close. It wasn't $1 million, he said. He said it was close, but it didn't have to meet that requirement. They wouldn't guarantee him the money.
Interesting.
And I think the guarantees, you come here, pay for play, right? The way he worded it, and he's not reading off a script, is intriguing to me because I think that's the basis of everything that we're seeing right now.
Interesting. Mm. And it is, I mean, like, can't we get to the point where we just openly talk about NIL? We all know what's happening.
I think that's a good avenue that you're hitting on, Hutt, is get the guys that are in the pros. And because there's nothing, it's not like, remember they used to say, you took a pay cut to go to the Giants, didn't you? You know, I think I would wink and go, you played at Kentucky,
Hyatt's a great example.
But now you can say it. Like, there's nothing that prohibits. You're not going to get your people in trouble by saying what your experience was. Right? So this is educational for all of us trying to learn. I would include coaches and other players, right? Tell me about your experience. How do I do this?
And Hyatt's a great example because he went from just being a guy to the Biletnikoff Award winner.
Exactly. His star rose, and he probably didn't have time. The market didn't catch up, right?
Right.
Right. Well, he said the market for him prior to the 2022 season was nothing. He wasn't getting offers because, you know, he wasn't that dude. And then he had the Bama game, and he had the greatest season that we saw from a receiver just from the numbers. He won the award. And, well, here are these offers all of a sudden. And but again, with all that, it's not like anyone tried to guarantee him a figure, which, again, my perception would have been, oh, you're taking a pay cut to go to the pros. I would have said, oh, you're absolutely being guaranteed money to go and make a decision to play. And the way he said it, it doesn't sound like he was, or he would have been back for another year.
Very
he also thought he would run a faster time and be a first-round pick, I think.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
It's not as simple as it was of just after 3 years, if you're good, you get a grade, we're going. We're going to the draft. Like, there's a lot to consider now.
The fact that reportedly Marvin Harrison Jr., who feels like a lock to be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft, even he thought about coming back to Ohio State because the NIL was that intriguing.
Wow.
That's
crazy to even think that, but also what does that do? That also complicates the scout process, right? Because now you're comparing guys at a wider age range sometimes, right? There's a different
class of people.
No question.
A lot of offensive linemen stayed in school an extra year. But this crop is great. There'll be 8 or 9 of them that are drafted top 100 tackles.
Hutton, appreciate you for stopping by. Appreciate that little tidbit. And also appreciate you looking after Jared on Radio Row in Vegas this
week. Yep, he's right over here. He's already prepping for the show. He never stops prepping.
Never stops.
He's writing his teases right now.
Never stops, Hutton. Appreciate you. Enjoy the week in Vegas.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Always enjoy this. Have a great week.
Thanks, Hutton. You too. All right,
there's nothing to do there. Super Bowl, Radio Row.
What a boring place to be.
Super Bowl going on, Radio Row. Vegas? Like, there's nothing to do there.
I don't have a single drop of envy. Chris Sims tweeted out that he and Mike Florio sat down with Brock Bowers. They asked him, where do you want to play? He said, I want to play for the Titans. We have a Brock Bowers follow-up from Radio Row. We will get to that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.